Hello, hello.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, Perry, how are you?
Great, thank you.
Sorry, Glenn. Perry, Glenn, sorry.
No problem.
Are we here alone? Can't be here alone.
I'm here too. Hi, Kristen.
Hi, Kristen.
Hi.
Let's go ahead and get attendance and see who else is here. Who else has joined us? Is JC here?
Yes, I'm here.
There he is. And Lynn? Huh? No? Ronnie? Jenna?
Good morning, I'm here.
There we go. Tyra? Kristen's here. Alexandra? Crystal? How about Cheyenne?
Here.
Oh, good. All right, let's go back and see. I've got Miss Lynn. Ronnie?
I am here.
Oh, Ronnie's here. Very good. Tyra? Alexandra?
Alexandra's here.
Alexandra's here. And Crystal. Well, hopefully they'll be along shortly. All right, welcome back. Week 15. The Certified Coach Program. Today we're going to have a couple of outstanding coach-to-coach sessions. I mean, really top-drawer coach-to-coach sessions. And who just joined us? We've got a couple.
This is Lynn.
Lynn is
Tyra.
And Tyra. All right. So it looks like I'm just missing Crystal this point in time. All right. Before we do our coach-to-coach for the day, let's just talk briefly here about anybody who might have some wins or challenges they want to share with the group. Anybody with a win or a challenge they want to share with the group. No? All quiet out there, huh? All right. Says they were going to have coach to coach, and you look at the subtitle on the coach to coach session, it says, today's about masterful coaching. No pressure there, Kristen and Cheyenne. Masterful coaching is our goal for the day. So what does masterful coaching sound like? What do you guys think masterful coaching sounds like?
Experienced, you know, very, very knowledgeable and skilled in the craft, if you will.
All right, good. Knowledgeable, skilled in the craft.
A lot of questions.
A lot of questions. Okay, interesting.
And going from one's intuition, trusting that, being curious.
There we go. Trusting the intuition, being curious. So not making assumptions about what things are going on, but being curious. Trusting intuition. Good. Anything else you want to add in there about what makes masterful coaching? Deep connection with the client in terms of being on the same wavelength they are, not being in front of them or behind them or right alongside of them. Those things make masterful coaching, and it just sounds like a natural conversation. And as highly trained coaches, we hear the model being used, but somebody who wasn't familiar with that model wouldn't recognize it. They wouldn't know it was there. It just sounds conversational. So our first session today is Kristen coaching Alexandra with Lynn as the observer. With that being said, Kristen, ready to be our first coach here today?
This is Cheyenne. Sorry. I actually had a question if it was okay with both groups. I might have to actually pop out early today, so is it actually possible if it's okay with everyone for my group to go first?
That's fine with me, as Kristen.
And me too.
Okay. The only issue we have there is that Crystal is supposed to be your observer, and she is not here. Anybody want to switch a future observer session for Crystal? likely candidates would be Ronnie, who's got a.
I was just getting ready to pipe in. I can.
You can? All right.
Yeah, I can.
So I will move. I'll move Crystal down to the 26th and put Ronnie here on the 12th. All right. Well, Sex, what was your question? Cheyenne, you had a question, you said?
Oh, no, sorry. That was my question. Thank you guys so much for accommodating that, though. I appreciate it.
All right, good. Well, so Cheyenne, obviously you're a coach, right?
I am.
All right. Glad to be our client?
Yes, sir.
All right. And I know Ronnie's ready because she just volunteered. So, Cheyenne, can you give us a little 30-second version of the simple coaching model?
Yeah, so I'm going to begin by clarifying the agenda. And then after the agenda has been clarified, I'm going to move into seizing the coachable moment. And then after that, I'm going to invite the shift. And then frame the masterpiece so that they can hopefully develop action steps to take. And then close it out by asking what the client has taken away from the session.
All right. So that last question actually is actually part of the framing of the masterpiece. Okay. And let's also focus on the fact that when we clarify the agenda, we want to make sure we have all three parts in there. The topic itself, questions that begin to expand and clarify that topic, what the client wants from the session. That's formally the agenda. All right. So, Cheyenne, go ahead and check your clock here for 20 minutes, and I will turn this over to you.
Okay, sounds good. Well, hello, Gwen. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Cheyenne. How about yourself? I hope you had a great holiday.
Oh, thank you. I hope you did as well.
I did indeed.
Good, good. So what would you like to talk about today?
Well, I know we have an abbreviated session today, which is fine, so I want to try to maybe try to get straight to the point. But at a high level, I'd like to discuss my coaching business. And specifically, would like to touch upon, I think the best way for me to articulate this is kind of a sense of overwhelmment. I feel somewhat overwhelmed at this point in time. When you think about we've been on this journey since the middle of September, you know, we're a strong 4 months into the program. We literally only have 6 weeks left to go, and assuming we all successfully can pass the exam, we will be, quote, certified coaches. And I've been doing an awful lot of work around, you know, setting up my business and coaching practice and such. But as we get closer to that end date, if you will, I realize though a lot of work has been done, a lot of work is yet to be done, and that's leading to my feeling a bit overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Definitely understandable. I think we're all feeling that way a bit at the moment. When you talk about the work that you have done, what does that look like at the moment?
Yeah, great question. So when I think about, you know, clearly all of the reading out of the accelerator, you know, I find myself not only reading that, but going back and rereading it. You know, at a later time, just to make sure that I'm absorbing and soaking that all in. You know, clearly the constant continued searching out and seeking 2 sample sessions per week, which generally entails a good bit of networking and touching base with folks and some people taking you up on it and others not. You know, the additional work that I've been done is, I have done a lot to set my business up in terms of purchasing and installing QuickBooks to monitor all the financial aspects. I have purchased and installed Calendly, a tool to help me schedule all of the sessions and such, you know, with the people that I have. I have, I'm deep into my website creation, working with a third party, and, you know, pulling together all of the content that's associated with that. I have hired a coach, a small business coach, to kind of help facilitate some of these do's and don'ts along the way and, you know, answer questions that I'm having. I think I had shared with the group previously that, you know, one of my sample sessions actually led to a full-time paying client, or not full-time, a paying client. And so I'm engaged in a, you know, a paid client engagement. And so with that, you know, good bit of work had to be done in terms of pulling together my, you know, the packets, you know, the welcome packet, if you will, which is, you know, clearly identified in our accelerator and the things that need to be part of that, the you know, the contractual agreement that we had to make sure that we were on the same page in terms of you know, the length of the engagement, as well as, you know, all the expectations, the role that they need to play, the role that I need to play, et cetera. So I pulled together all of those things. So I feel like, and I started to be long-winded there, but you asked kind of what work has been done. It's been all of that. Not in addition to that, obviously, wrestling with the right price to ask and sticking to those convictions now that I've kind of set that aside. So I've got, you know, a pricing structure, and I've been giving some thought to some different packages along the way. Not ready for that yet. That's kind of some additional work yet to be done. But hopefully that gives you an idea of some of the things I have been doing.
Yeah, it does. Thank you so much for being so thorough, and congratulations on getting your first client. That's a huge win that should definitely be celebrated. So it sounds like you're in a good spot. You did mention one aspect that you are still working on is your packaging and your pricing. What are some of the other aspects that you still feel like you have yet to get where you would like them to be?
Good question. You know, this whole concept of the imposter syndrome, that is something I have to continue to work past, you know, because when you think about, and we kicked the class off today talking about, you know, masterful coaching sessions, I don't necessarily feel like I'm there yet. I feel like I am clearly a much better coach today than I was, you know, 2 weeks ago, 2 months ago, certainly 4 months mm-hmm. ago. But I still have a lot of work to do there to really consider myself to be, you know, a master at that. And then so, and I guess it's a little bit of this perfectionism, trait that I might have. You know, until I get to that point, I struggle with this whole notion of having paying clients. And, you know, if you get past the paying client aspect of it, it is the amount of money that you're charging. And so the imposter syndrome has clearly kicked in on me a bit. And then, you know, additional work that still clearly needs to be done, in my view, is really, okay, I've done a lot of preparatory work. It's not perfect. It's not necessarily ready for prime time, but when will it be ready for prime time? And when should I feel comfortable with being, you know, ready to go prime time and really, you know, get out there and launch my website and really get out there on social media or whatever other aspects I'm going to do to market my business. You know, this is where the overstock. We're going to be certified in 6 weeks, again, assuming that's an accurate statement. You know, it's not going to be a light switch that you necessarily, you know, flip to say, hey, I'm certified. Now I do all these other things to launch my business and, you know, really aggressively looking for clients. I feel like I need to be doing more of that now than maybe what I am. And, you know, and again, I've got realistic expectations that on day one, I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to necessarily accomplish my final financial goals and number of clients that I want. I get that. I know it's a building process. I know it's going to take time, but that's what's kind of contributing to the whole overwhelming thing. A lot of progress being made, but I just feel like there's still so much more to be done before I effectively can feel comfortable with where I'm at.
Okay. So overall, what would you like to take away from our session today?
A feeling of less overwhelmment, which may be a big ask, but at least having kind of some thought around how do I work getting past that feeling of overwhelmment, realizing it could take some time.
Right, absolutely. Okay, so I heard you mention kind of you're waiting to get to that prime time moment, and you'll kind of, that could maybe help you, you mentioned imposter syndrome that you're sort of feeling right now. So can you describe what that prime time would look like when you feel like you would be ready?
I guess it would be, all the foundational building blocks are in place. All the web content is complete and the website is launched. Recognizing you always tweak things, I get that. But the website is launched, it's up and functionally working. You're through whatever means that I settle on to market my business, I'm starting to get, inbound traffic relative to people wanting to schedule discovery sessions. And I'm calling a discovery session, which is the same as a complimentary session. More people wanting to schedule those types of things. People are kind of coming to you and knocking on your door, my door, as opposed to my constantly picking up the phone and, working my network and trying to, create business that way, which I know it's going to be a two-way street. I get it. But, I feel like when all of that is working as a well-oiled machine, that's when I'm going to feel like I'm in prime time. I have a business. The business is moving forward. There's activity in the business. And income's being generated, and I have happy clients, those types of things.
Yeah, for sure. So it sounds like reaching prime time for you, it looks like your business has kind of come together, and you have people who are now seeking you out rather than you having to consistently seek them out. I do want to explore a little bit further when you mentioned imposter syndrome earlier. What are some of your thoughts behind what is making you feel like you're experiencing imposter syndrome currently with where you're at in your business?
Well, I think back on my 38-year career, and, through the way, I had a lot of different assignments, but each assignment, you progressed and you grew to it. You were paid a salary. You had a total compensation package that rewarded you for the contributions that you were making in whatever role that was. And so there was, there's a level of comfort associated with that you're skilled, you're contributing, and as a result of those things, you're receiving some form of a compensation package. In this situation, because I don't necessarily feel that I have yet mastered all of the craft associated with being a good executive coach, there's just that sense of doubt. And it's not a sense of doubt. It's a sense of, am I worthy? Am I worthy? Am I providing enough value and worthy to be receiving compensation for that? And if the answer to that is yes, what is that right level of compensation? Because as we've talked in these calls a number of times, there's a wide range of dollars that are being charged for this, right? And so, really getting to that dollar amount and really feeling as though the value that you're providing to others is worth, the amount of money that you're trying to charge to get that done. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. I'm sure that's something that a lot of us are going through at the moment as well. So it sounds like compensation is kind of one of the main points of your business right now that you're working to kind of figure out the structure of. And you mentioned wanting to make sure that you feel worthy. Can you describe maybe some of those aspects that would make you feel like you are worthy and deserving of asking for that compensation that you feel like you would deserve at a certain point?
Yeah, I guess if I go back and compare it to the 38-year career that I had, I mean, it's knowing that, I mean, you can generally tell whether you're doing the job or you're not doing the job. And, you know, that's generally based on the feedback that you're receiving. That's generally based on the reputation that you're developing. You know, it's generally going to be based on, are people coming to you for that help and assistance and guidance and support and mentoring and development? Are you perceived as being a doer? Are you perceived as being a good decision maker? All those kinds of things. So, you know, that was the career. And so, you know, you take that forward in coaching, it would be much the same, right? It would be, you know, are you having the feeling, are you getting the feedback that you are having rich, deep coaching engagements, and are you receiving the feedback from your clients that, you know, not only have you helped them, you know, develop, you know, co-create the solutions to the challenges that they're bringing forward, but they really believe that they're growing as a result of it, and they're really helping, you know, to provide referrals and testimonials and those types of things. It, you know, when that happens, I won't say if, when that happens, that will be when I feel that I clearly am, you know, providing benefit and feeling worthy of what it is that I'm giving to my clients.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you mentioned feeling overwhelmed within that sphere. So what are some things that you're doing right now to kind of progress you towards what you were just mentioning to help you feel worthy, meaning that your clients are seeking you out and that they're having a good experience with you and you're receiving good feedback?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that I could directly answer that question, you know, in a tangible, specific way.
Mm-hmm.
I think what I would offer is that, you know, we all put together our SMART goals, and I find myself continuing to revisit and revise those SMART goals, because when I first put them together, they may have been overly ambitious in terms of when I would get all those things completed. You know, when you think about setting up the LLC and you think about the checking account and QuickBooks and Calendly and all the things that I mentioned, you know, defining our niche, all the things that we identified earlier. But, you know, the things that are yet to go, it's really a matter of kind of racking and stacking those things and prioritizing them and getting the most benefit and making the most traction that I can, you know, tangible traction that I can see on a week-to-week basis. That's what I'm doing, is continuing to reprioritize, you know, this list of initiatives that I have in my SMART goals in terms of things that I want to get accomplished.
Okay, well, that is a great strategy so far that will definitely help progress your business forward. So good for you for taking those steps. And so you mentioned your SMART goals helping you to kind of navigate as you're starting your business. What are some of the other strategies that you have incorporated to maybe help you achieve those SMART goals that have worked for you in the past?
Networking, well, two things. One, my coaching partner, coaching buddy, you know, the weekly conversations that we have, bouncing things off of one another. In addition to that, you know, reaching out to other folks who have been in coaching for an extended period of time, and having conversations with those folks in terms of, you know, thinking back to their time when they launched and started their business, what worked, what didn't work, you know, where should I spend my time, where should I not spend as much time because perhaps it's not as important. So those kinds of things. A lot, you know, collaboration with a number of other folks that are more experienced.
Yes, absolutely. That is certainly helpful with this sort of business. When you are speaking with your class buddy and doing those other types of networking, does that feel overwhelming to you, or do you feel like you are able to, or that it's able to help you effectively grow your business in the way that we've been talking about?
No, I clearly believe the vast majority of those conversations have been very beneficial. I learn something each and every time I have a conversation with someone. And, you know, the inputs and such have helped in terms of prioritization once you kind of think through it. But sometimes it actually, believe it or not, kind of adds to being overwhelmed, because it's like, shoot, I was on a path, and now I need to be on a different path because something that I thought was maybe more important is not as important, and something that I thought was less important perhaps might be more important. So, but again, I still think that it's the right strategy to have. But, you know, sometimes you can just get too much noise in your head, right? And, you know, perhaps, all the different conversations that I'm having with the multiple different constituencies trying to get it right could well be adding to that sense of being overwhelmed, and maybe, you know, kind of narrow back the number of questions that I'm asking and just kind of stick to it and, you know, keep moving, knowing that there's going to be plenty of time even after we get certified. But what I'm trying to avoid is getting to the point of certification and not having all this stuff done and wondering, gee, what should I do next? Gee, am I ever going to get any clients? You know, I laugh because, you know, one of the SMART goals, and probably others too, one of the SMART goals I had was to make enough money doing this to pay for the class by March 9th. Mm-hmm. Well, that's probably not going to happen at this point in time. Is that a failure as a result of that? No, it probably just means I need to maybe, you know, reset a different date that perhaps is a little bit more realistic. Though I am generating income, it's not going to be enough to pay for the class by the time we're certified. So that was a rather ambitious SMART goal, very naive SMART goal that I had at the beginning, I guess.
Well, it's okay. We're all on a learning journey together, so don't feel out of place there. I heard you mention a couple of times that deadline of reaching certification. And it seems like that could potentially be kind of tied to a lot of these other aspects that you're kind of concerned about. What is it about that deadline and reaching certification that pulls you to want to, it seems like you kind of want to have a lot of things wrapped up by that point. Excuse me. What is it about that deadline that is making you feel like all of those goals or different aspects of your business need to be completed at that time?
That's a very insightful question. That's one I probably would need to contemplate further. My initial gut reaction would be I'm a very goal-oriented person, and whether it was the right perspective or the wrong perspective to have, we won't debate that. But, you know, the perspective that, you know, by the time you're certified, you need to be in a position to have a business up and running, functioning, and creating revenue and well on your way to reaching, you know, the financial goals and whatnot that you have for your business. But that's how I would answer that. But I would like to reflect on that further.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it seems like a lot of times having a date in mind can kind of create those feelings of being overwhelmed. So maybe what would be some of the key elements? I've heard you mention, you know, creating a more standard compensation package, maybe finding other ways to seek out clients. So what would be maybe your top three goals that you would like to have accomplished by the time we're certified?
I definitely would like to have the foundational building blocks that I call them in place to have a business that is up and, you know, that, that allows the business to function. And I'm well on my way for that, so that's good. And then I think it's also, you know, the current engagement that I have is really kind of an hourly package type of approach. I really want to design some different types of programs, you know, a 3-month, a 6-month, a 12-month, and they will have different elements to them, and associated with that, they'll have a different pricing structure to them. And so I do need to get that finalized, because particularly if I'm going to launch a website, that website needs to, and it starts to precipitate those kinds of questions. I got to be able to articulate that very confidently. So that's the second thing. And you know, the third thing, I know we're up against time. I would probably want to think about that one just a little bit further as I'm kind of looking across my task list here.
Yeah, absolutely. My main reason for asking that is just kind of to see how you would feel about potentially prioritizing whatever you feel like is key for your business. So whether that, you know, is maybe your top two things or three or however you feel comfortable stretching it. And I'm just kind of wondering, how would you feel to maybe focus on those core aspects that you feel like you really would like to have done by time we're certified, but then maybe allowing those other aspects to be accomplished at a later time as you are continuing your coaching journey?
I think that's good advice. I think that's a very good approach. It feels very good.
Okay, wonderful. And when you think about it in those types of terms, how are you feeling with regards to that overwhelmed or being overwhelmed that you have kind of been mentioning throughout the session so far?
Yeah, I feel good. I think, you know, the questions and the insight that you've kind of brought to the table here, it's helped me kind of sort out in my mind that, I mean this respectfully, that, you know, the certification date's an artificial date, right? And, you know, tying mm-hmm. everything I'm trying to get done to that date may be a bit unnecessary, and the business is going to continue to evolve long past that date. And so that's kind of the epiphany that I'm having through this conversation. And, you know, so, you know, to the point and the question that you ask, you know, as we think about these last 6 weeks, what's the top three things that I absolutely have to get done? Clearly identifying what those are and get those things done, realizing that the other four or five things that I believe need to be accomplished could be accomplished after the certification date, and that's okay. That's just fine. So it's been a helpful conversation.
Oh, good. That's always nice to hear. So reflecting back on what we've discussed so far, I know we kind of touched on maybe, you know, developing some of those core ideas for you to potentially have done by the certification deadline, but then kind of being okay with achieving, you know, the rest of what you're envisioning at a later date. Is there anything at this point in time that you feel like you could potentially break down and focus on a weekly basis to help you achieve maybe more of those core goals that you're hoping to reach by the time of certification?
Cheyenne, we are way over time here. We need to wrap up.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah, I think my short answer to that is there probably are, and I need to take some time to reflect on what that looks like. It's a good suggestion.
Okay, well, perfect. Well, since we have to wrap up, I will just go ahead and end with asking you what was most valuable for you about today's session.
I think the questions that you ask around, you know, what's magical about the certification date was a very good and very helpful in the conversation that led to. That's what I found to be very valuable.
Well, excellent. Well, thank you so much for sharing what you're experiencing with us. I'm sure a lot of us are going through the same thing right now and for being my client today.
Very good. Thank you, Cheyenne. Appreciate it.
All right. So let's debrief on this. So, Cheyenne, give us your immediate feedback on how the session went. What's your thought right now?
Yeah. So, first of all, sorry about the time. I think I was just getting too into the moment. So, overall, I think it went well. I think we were kind of able to maybe find a couple of those key aspects that were making him feel overwhelmed, which I know was at the core of his session today. I do feel like there could have potentially been other aspects to explore when I was listening to him talk about, you know, things in the business that he's developing and things that he is still working to achieve. Some things in there could have been also good to further explore and then to maybe, you know, and see what it looks like for him once we're certified and then moving forward from certification onward to kind of help even further break down those feelings of being overwhelmed. But I do feel like we were able to get some key ideas out of our short session today.
Okay. And so this feeling of overwhelm, what do you think is at the core of that? What's the coachable moment here?
I think probably a big part of the coachable moment was it seemed like that inevitable deadline of certification is kind of maybe a big cause of what was bringing up those extra feelings of being overwhelmed, kind of feeling like all of those tasks needed to be accomplished by certification. And so, you know, maybe digging in deeper to what was it about that deadline specifically, and is it okay if things aren't accomplished by that time, or why that time frame was so set for him, and kind of just what could be or what should be done before then or could be done after them, and just kind of helping him to navigate what that looks like and why that was so important to him.
Okay. So when you and Glenn get together for a follow-up session, what's going to be your focus for the follow-up session?
Mm-hmm. I think that it would be good to kind of explore a little further out, maybe after seeing, I know he had a couple of things he wanted to reflect on, so I would definitely like to come back to that to kind of see where that reflection time took him, and then from there I might kind of see what that looks like to him moving forward after certification to maybe help even further break down those barriers of feeling the need to accomplish everything in a short amount of time.
All right, good. Anything else you want to add before I check in with Roddy?
No, I just appreciate everyone's time, and I definitely know I still have areas to work on, but I also feel like I had a better session than I did previously. So as long as we're growing, that's always the goal, so I'm happy with that.
There we go. We got to be growing. Good. Okay, let's check in with Ronnie. So Ronnie, give us your feedback on the session, particularly around the coachable moment.
Okay. So I thought she asked great open-ended questions. Glenn's always really good about being detailed when we're doing these sessions, so there was a lot of information, and I could have seen, you know, several different ways, like Cheyenne said, that she had gone, but I think she went in a good direction. I was feeling overwhelmed by everything that he was saying, so. But I thought around the coachable moment when she, because I was waiting for her to say something about the certification, because that's the word that kept coming up for me, and it's like, you know, when she asked that question about the certification and that deadline, you could feel Glenn's whole demeanor kind of like, it's almost like I'm stressing myself out. You know what I mean? That's what I felt during the call. So, I mean, going to that and also the other thing about being worthy was something else that came up for me because he has a client. I guess, you know, maybe in another way that you could go in the next follow-up session is, you know, what kind of feedback are you getting from your current client? Is that easing some of that? How does that look like for you on that end? And maybe, because I know sometimes all of us have a tendency to put more pressure on ourselves than what we need to. So, but I think it was really good. And when she invited that core aspect concentration of those three core things and concentrating on those things and asking for him to shift into that, that again was another feeling moment that I heard his voice change. And it was like a relief thing. So, I mean, Shannon, I think you did a really good job. Again, Glenn has a lot going on. So, you know, follow-up sessions, there's a lot you could go into on that. But I thought you did a really good job.
Oh, thank you so much, Ronnie. I appreciate it.
Good. Anything else you want to add before I check in with Glenn?
I don't think so. But I did like the other thing is, you know, having him concentrate on his goals after the business, after he gets certified, and then sit and take a breath and reevaluate. I thought that was a good suggestion too. And I think, you know, one other thing that possibly in a follow-up session would be, you know, or even maybe even this session that could have been brought up of, you know, it's your business. I think it's going to be ever-changing. And so we grow into our skill set. We grow into the business. That was just the other thing that came up for me while I was listening.
Yeah, that's an important point from the perspective of both the coaching session, but also for us all to realize about our coaching businesses that they're always changing, which is why we do Picture of the Practice. I do it every year because my practice changes every year, and I change every year.
Right.
Good. Let's check in with Glenn. So, Glenn, give us some feedback on the session.
Yeah, so, you know, Ronnie said that I'm always detailed. I think what she was really trying to say is I talk a lot. But
that's not
okay.
What I meant. That's not what I meant.
But, no, I echo what Ronnie said. I think Cheyenne did a very, very good job. She had great open-ended questions. She seemed genuinely engaged. I felt very comfortable speaking with her. I felt like she was truly interested and was really trying to get at the root of what the what the issues were. So I appreciated that about the way that she approached the session and whatnot. I did have a bit of an epiphany when she kind of, these are my words, asked the question around, well, what's so important about the certification date? What's so magical about everything happened to be buttoned up with a nice little bow tied around it? And, that really got me thinking about some different things. So kind of as I keep working my SMART goals and all the different tasks and initiatives that I've identified, you know, there's a number that I should celebrate because I've gotten them accomplished. I've made great progress. There's a number of them still out in front that I do need to reprioritize and really kind of figure out which ones have to be in place by certification and launch date, if you will, versus those that can continue to linger as the business evolves over time. And so I think, you know, as I do that, that's clearly going to help me with this feeling of overwhelmment. One area that we did not touch upon that I also believe is contributing to my somewhat of feeling overwhelmed is, you know, this is my business. This is my income. I don't mean this in a boastful way. I'm not going to starve to death. I'm not going to have trouble not paying my utility bills or anything like that. But I do not currently have a job. And so this business is my job. And so my ability to generate income and my ability to be successful is also somewhat in the background of this feeling overwhelmed by, oh, my gosh, I got to get this thing launched, and not only launched, but I got to get it launched right, and I have to have success as I do it because I need the business to gain traction, to grow, and to be successful. You know, my livelihood, so to speak, depends upon that. And I think, you know, that's whether that's self-inflicted or not necessarily reality, that's contributing to some of the overwhelmment as well. So there might have been an opportunity, Cheyenne, somehow, some way, to probe, and I'm sure if we would have had more time, you probably would have done that, but that would have been another area to really try to understand what else is I understand the task orientation is contributing to your feeling overwhelmed, but what else might be contributing to that?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's a great point.
Yeah. So those kind of things popped up through there. That's a really good point. And, you know, for the benefit of the entire class here, keep in mind that a coaching business is not like opening up a retail store where you sit there and say, okay, here's opening day. I got to get everything set up. I got to get everything ordered. Everything's on the shelves. Open the doors and people are going to just walk in and start buying things off the shelves. You know, a coaching business is something that you open and then you grow over a period of time. Everything doesn't have to be there on day one because, you know, people aren't walking and buying things off the shelf. They're buying you in a continuous growth process. That's what they're really buying. So it's a little different. Let me give some feedback here as well. So, first of all, Cheyenne, really much, much better job. A lot of good things you did here, listening patiently, some great open-ended questions. You clearly got some key points of the coachable moment. And, you know, my first reaction was mostly the imposter syndrome, and that's probably because of who I am, what I do. But you were right to focus in on that issue of what's magical about that date. And because that was got him thinking, wait a minute, that's not really magical, is it? That is a date. So overall, really well here. A few times you gave him the either-or type questions, which you want to try and avoid because they tend to limit the responses. But overall, very insightful questions and good ones to get him thinking about what's next on the path. So the thing I tell you about you developing and improving is go back and play back for the either-or questions. And how do you make those things more open? Okay. Because you really can hit her well on the coachable moments, the ones that were out there. You chose a good one to go after, and you got a good response and good feedback. So overall, very, very well done.
Thank you. I appreciate the feedback from everyone.
Good. All right, let's go to our other session now. We're going to get to hear, where to go. Kristen's going to coach Alexandra with Lynn as the observer. So, Kristen, ready to be our coach?
I am.
She is. Alexandra, ready to be our client?
Ready, set, go.
Lynn, ready to observe?
Yes, I am.
All right. So can we get your 30-second version of the simple coaching model, Kristen?
Sure. So first I'm going to clarify the agenda where I ask her what topic she'd like to talk about today, get some details of that topic, and then close out the agenda by asking her what she'd like to take away from today's session. Then, based on the details from the agenda, I'm going to find a coachable moment, and I'm going to ask open-ended questions to help her get a better understanding of what's going on and what's holding her back, essentially. Then I'm going to invite the shift, and that's where she's going to have a turning point into possibility thinking with her new perspective, and she's ready to move with that information forward. And then in framing the masterpiece, I'm going to acknowledge the shift, and I'm going to help her integrate the shift into her next action step, and then I'm going to ask her where she's found value in today's session.
All right, very good. Let's go ahead and check our clock for 20 minutes, and I will turn this over to you.
Thank you. Hi, Alexandra.
Well, hello.
How are you today?
I'm doing pretty well, actually. Thanks. How about you?
Good. I'm doing well, too. Thank you for asking. What would you like to talk about today?
Well, I've been really enjoying this coaching program and just grateful I like the one I chose and that I'm feeling really aligned with how it's all taking place. And I've got my SMART goals and been doing sample sessions. I've only done 10, but I'm not feeling like I need to police that a whole lot right now. I'm really just feeling into this and wanting to come from a place of authenticity and integrity where it feels natural, because I do trust that this is the path I'm meant to walk in order to be of service to others and help. And I'm really, really, really happy to be at this point where I feel good about it. All that said,
mm-hmm.
I've noticed that I'm getting some inner resistance around the building an online presence piece, which involves all the things social media related, which I don't engage in personally. I think part of it is that the niche I've chosen is survivors of sexual trauma, and well, mixed feelings. You know, one feeling is, yeah, that's right, because we need help too, and also it's super timely right now, as far as finally now destructive dog syndrome. Hang on, and I feel really fine about that. There's a confidence and a trusting that accompanies that. Then the other feeling is, oh my God, I see this online on social media. I have to reach out to people I haven't talked to in 20 years, coworkers, you know, who maybe don't know this side of me, for the warm letter piece. Yikes. A little, and I'm sure that's based on not wanting to be derailed by what others think. So that's within my control. But I think I'm in a rambling state now, but I think that's a good start.
I think what you said is wonderful. I mean, I think you're starting to pull in the details about what's going on for you here. So you're saying that you have an inner resistance to online presence. You're saying that part of this is tied into both that you don't normally do social media on a regular basis, and also the fact of the type of topic it is and how much comfort level you have discussing it on social media. So if you were to pick which one might stand out to you more, do you have a sense of which one makes you have more inner resistance?
Mm-hmm. You mean as far as whether it's social media, period, or sharing with others that I'm targeting
yeah.
this niche market.
Yeah.
Hmm. Probably the latter. If we want to dig
okay.
real deep down, yeah.
Okay. So the niche. So what happens when you either start getting yourself to go online and put yourself out there and put your niche out there? What happens in the process of that, or when you think about doing it? What comes up for you?
Well, I'm looking at the SMART goal here, you know, update social media profiles with business info, post an introduction on my Smith alumna network. This is so doable. It really is. And so I've even gotten as far as to opening the website. And then I see my name, and I think there's a certain defiance, like, I don't want to have to do it this way. It feels very superficial and... Do you hear the sounds I'm making?
I do. I do. So taking a step back then, when you think about your niche and you think about connecting with people that are in your niche, what feels more comfortable to you?
I picture that group as just like a faceless large group of people. And when I think about the times when I've had conversations with people that flow and they end up feeling like they've gotten some value from it, and I feel fed and nourished from that,
mm-hmm.
it's the most wonderful feeling.
Okay, so when you have had those moments, how has that occurred? How did that come about?
When I'm in the process of coaching someone, or I'm talking to someone I trust, or even to myself out loud when I'm recording one of my voice journal things, and I hear confidence and just a sense of knowing that this is the way it's meant to be. And so it's easy. I don't even have to try when I'm in that space. It just, everything falls into place naturally. Literally, the universe just plops it in front of me.
And so tell me a little bit more about how the universe plopped these opportunities in front of you that felt so good. Like, how did it come about to being?
Well, when I can inhabit that space of knowing, and I'm not attached to the outcome in a finite, like, trivial earthly way, like, oh, I want to have, I don't know, sometimes quantifying results ends up working against me. I want to have this many clients, or I want to make this much. On the one hand, I see that I need to do that in a practical way to move things along. But I've also seen that when I just trust that if I give the pursuit of the building business piece, I give it space to happen naturally in its own time, I don't force it, then, for instance, I'm connecting with people, people are reaching out to me in a way that's effortless.
Okay, so tapping into... It sounds like for yourself, you get yourself into a really good mental space to be able to connect with people. So what's happening outside yourself that are bringing these people in? Are there things that you're doing or people you're connecting with in different ways? How does that all happen?
Well, one of my friends who's established in town and has been here forever, he said he'd be willing to just, you know, talk to some of his friends and see if they felt like having a complimentary session, again, with no attachment to being recruited or anything, just to help me build my skill set. And I've met with like four different people through, thanks to him, and had really, really, really nice experiences that have reinforced all the good things a person would want, you know?
Okay, great. So kind of as we delved a little bit deeper in here into what, you know, the topic that you're talking about here, about your online presence and also about feeling comfortable with putting your niche out there, what would you, with all that information, what would you like to take from today's session?
I think knowing myself, you know, maybe we could come up with either a thought I can meet the other self-doubting thoughts with to kind of balance it out and self-correct, and or a strategy to move past those moments of resistance, which I'll be honest, I already can coach myself to do, but, you know, being that I needed to show up with a topic and I'm not perfect and I don't even seek perfection anymore, I just think it was wasn't going to be a bad idea to try and get some extra help.
Yeah, I think sometimes when we do sessions, too, things come up unexpectedly. Like, we're like, wow, we didn't even think of that. So I think delving further into what you've brought up is a great idea, especially if there's any hesitation in yourself going forward about how connect with the people that you want to connect with in a way that feels comfortable for you. So going back to the fact that you talked to your friend and they set up some referral sessions to you, tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, they've been great, and funny enough, they've been with, I think all four of them were with people over 70, and I guess that's no surprise given where I live, but, and one of them was with a woman who had a master's in counseling, and I knew that in advance, so I was, whatever, but she was the sweetest lady. And she had come to me with the agenda item of, you know, I have this memory of saying something nasty to my mom when I was 16, and I just have never been able to forgive myself. And we addressed that, and she really appreciated how I showed up and helped her think about things differently and meet her younger self with more compassion and kindness. And she was so touched by it, and then she referred me to two other people. And so it's really great. And not necessarily is this related to sexual trauma, and that's okay too, for sure. It's not like I'm only willing to help those people.
So what did that bring up in yourself? What kinds of thoughts came and what kinds of emotions came from that, from having that successful session and then being referred to other people?
I remember making a voice memo afterwards, just kind of wanting to emanate gratitude outward so that the universe knows that I really appreciate this opportunity. I feel nourished by it. I feel like I'm carrying out my purpose, and thank you. And I felt kind of high, you know, and just this ease, like a real sense of peace, like everything is as it is, and it's wonderful, and how nice, honestly.
So now let's take that feeling that happened and then, you know, put it right next to when you think about social media and tell me what you think.
Yeah, right. Right, I'm with you. The webpage open, you see the logos and there's photos everywhere. Words, but maybe like, let's pretend I've never heard of social media. Like, what is a first step a person might think to do, for instance, with like, let's pick LinkedIn since I feel most confident starting there. I just feel dumb about it.
There's no reason to feel dumb about it. I think we're all like in this boat where we're figuring things out, and it really sounds to me like you're not being, you know, not that you're using a lot of intelligent thinking and thoughtful emotional thinking. So I think you've got all the tools here.
Yeah, thanks. just need to use them at the right time, probably.
Or just figure it out for yourself. So when you think about social media, and you think about the friends, just really think about what feels, you use the word authentic. What feels authentic to you?
I could probably get myself to type the words out, you know, intuitive wellness coach, which is probably what I will call myself, something like that. I got to find a picture that looks like me now that, I don't hate pictures. Okay, so right where I feel my energy just like diving deep down, whereas before we were high in the sky and it was great. And I do see that. I hope you know I see that. And so, okay, typing the words, but then what? Like an introduction. I guess that's where the warm letter thing comes in, because I've drawn up some text. I could put pieces of that in the About Me section, I guess.
Does that feel right to you?
That feels right. Because what do I care if a bunch of colleagues see, colleagues from the corporate world see, oh, Alex is doing this life coach thing. Interesting. Oh, sexual trauma. Right on. I don't, like, see, I can tell I'm caring what they think, and I have no business with that and no control. And those things together mean, like, it's still not worth giving thought energy to.
So going back to actually even the last coaching session and what Dave said, that we grow into our business as a coach. If you thought of your business that way, that you grow into it as a coach, what feels right for you now, and then what do you feel right for you in the future?
Well, that's nice because I do believe that. You grow into it. You can't force it. Everyone's timeline's different. And I don't feel, like I need to police my progress in here. I really want to just trust. So if that's the case, I know there's some pushing I need to do through this resistance. But also maybe the more I talk to people about where I'm at, maybe after 5 calls to these people I would send the warm letter to, and I talk to catch up with 5 people, maybe even 3, I could that might help me break out of that shell a little bit, because at this point it's just been people I know I've been talking to about it.
Okay, so the people that you know you've been talking to about it, has that worked for you? And if so, how?
Yeah, they're all about it. They're amazed by how I've recovered from life and found a place of peace that mainly is how I experienced life. And they're all about helping me spread that around and being fed by it at the same time. It's good stuff.
So I hear from you that using this referral, it's almost like a referral circle that you have mm-hmm. going, that you've built up, that feels to you very natural and is actually providing some degree of success for you. Is that
yes,
accurate?
That's accurate. Way to look at the facts, because sometimes I don't.
So knowing that we're all different and that we grow our business in different ways, what can you do in this circumstance to see what would work best for you? Like, what is the best case scenario for you right now and then a little bit in the future? What would you like to see happen, knowing what is working for you and what you'd like to attain?
Well, I see a good, like, quiet time session where I go inward and I wouldn't say meditate, but just some possibility thinking, you know, creative visualization. What would I like it to look like? What feels right, just like you said. And then maybe try to bring in how the online presence can support it. And maybe that's the way to do it, is to start with the feeling, like you've been guiding me really beautifully, by the way, and then bring in the thing where I get all gnarly about it, and then maybe it'll just kind of, there's a way for it, them all to hang out together.
And okay, so knowing where your comfort level is and what you'd like to grow, what would you say, let me ask you this. If your friend were to look at the situation, were to talk to you, one of your best friends, and to look at where you are now and what you've been doing and where you want to be, what advice do you think she or he would give you?
I'd say, Alex, this is just so no big deal. Why don't we just do this together? You sit here at the keyboard. I'll sit here. You just, let's knock it out, you know? And by the time this is done, it'll be up and you can be done with it. I almost feel like I need a buddy there or something, like a hand-holding. I'll admit, I wish I could hold my own hand on this one, but I'm not there yet, probably. But talking about it with you has helped me see how I can hold my own hand.
Excellent. And would they say that maybe, what else might they say to you if you responded that way to them? What do you think they'd say to you next?
They'd say you can trust. Just trust the process. You already do, so extend the trust to this dark world of nefarious activity area and just light it up. Bring light to it. Just, it's fine. You know?
And what would they say? What would they say to you about what works for you versus other people? What might they say there?
You're sweet. They would say, you know, Alex, you're on your own path. Okay, there's no right way to do this, and you got this. No one's breathing down your back. Just take your time. And enter that place of trust, and everything falls into place from there.
I hear a lot of good shift in going through possibility thinking for you, and also, you know, tapping into what works for Alexandra, because it might not be the same thing that works for somebody else. So knowing all this and getting the shift, which I think is amazing to see the difference in your possibility thinking. What would be a good next step for you that you'd like to commit to move yourself into even more possibility thinking and more possibilities? What do you think would be a good step?
Well, you've just done such a nice job of meeting me where I'm at and kind of helping me meet these resistance feelings with kindness and openness. I'm going to take time later today to have that quiet time and picture things. And I really just feel confident that it's going to be fine. You just helped me draw that out in myself, and I couldn't be more thankful.
Oh, I'm so glad. It was so wonderful to hear you so honestly open about everything, and I know that your niche, you know, might make you more hesitant to open up. So I really appreciate that you opened that up to me, and you let me and the rest of and everybody else in there, and that you went down that path willingly. So can I hold you accountable for doing that visualization later and check in as a friendly accountability?
Yes. Yes, you can. I dare you.
All right. Where did you gain the most value from today's session?
Well, your questions helped me challenge the resistance. I think that's what resistance needs, is an equal, like, match with the good in the world. So you helped me. You help me strengthen that muscle. Remember, I have that muscle to flex. Like, okay, when the resistance comes up, I've got this trust and deeper knowing right here that they can hang out and have tea together and just talk it out. And then I think that was super valuable to be reminded I have that. Thank you.
That's wonderful. You're welcome. You reminded yourself in a way, so that's wonderful. So thank you so much. And I will be following up with that, and I'm wishing you the best of luck with that visualization today.
Yeah, I can't wait to tell you how it went.
Awesome.
All right, very
Steve.
Good.
Okay.
Yep. First thing I want to say is, Alexandra, you do not want to miss next week's class. Some things there that are really going to open your eyes next week that are going to help you with some of the very things you're thinking about in terms of marketing yourself and bringing clients on board. Okay.
I'm just psychic and wanted to get ahead of it, I guess.
Well, you're a psychic. I'm psychotic. We're a perfect match this way. This is good.
Okay.
All right, Kristen, How you feel right now?
I feel good. I feel good. I feel like even though people are listening to me, I could, like, follow. I'm very much in tune with Lynn, too, but I was having trouble following the flow of the following the coaching model flow. I was kind of lost in where I was, and I felt like this time I could do both better. I could follow the flow and also be very in tune with what she was saying.
So it made it much more natural for you, sounds like, in how to and following the flow of the model. Yeah, felt natural. That's good. That comes with practice. Okay. So tell me about the coachable moment.
So I think there's a few different coachable moments. I definitely got that she has the ability to talk her, you know, to help herself through the resistance. But what came up even more for me was what was right for her. You know, what way of marketing her business, like with the referral session, was right with her and allowing her to see that it's okay that it's different than other people, like, and also tapping into her support around her that she has.
Yeah. Summarize what you think her fear is here.
What I think her fear, putting herself out there for judgments.
Yeah.
And having to do it. And also having to do her business in a certain way, even if it doesn't feel comfortable to her, is the other thing I'm picking up on.
Good.
So the referral business versus putting a lot of effort into the website.
Referrals are, I mean, whatever else we do with our business, referrals are the ultimate goal we're trying to get to. We can sit back and not worry about marketing, but either from our other clients or from other partners or from where else it's coming from, people are just coming to us. That's what we're all trying to get to.
Yeah, as a photographer, I have referrals do me so much good, much more than my website ever will.
Yeah. And, of course, that started a week after your business opened, right?
No.
No, not that exactly.
She's ahead of
me
on that. She's before, So, no, I do that from my own experience, that the referral group is actually more important than the website.
We'll talk about that a little bit next week. Good. So if you had more time here, where would you have gone?
Well, I think that maybe continuing to go down what feels right for her, because then she can open up to her comfort level in the way that she markets, you know, that's comfortable to her in a progressive way in which she feels comfortable. I think that's kind of, you know, sometimes you don't need to come all out and be like, you can do it in a way that's comfortable for you and kind of figure it out that way. That's where what I'm thinking of right now. Listening back over, I'm not sure if I'd get something else, but that's where I'm at right now.
All right, good. Anything else you want to add before I check in with Lynn?
I don't think so. Again, Alexandra, just thank you so much. I appreciate you opening up and letting us all into this. And I think all these sessions help everybody else. I think that we have some degree of our own self, you know, wondering about putting ourselves out there and everything and what's right for us. So thank you, Alexandra.
All right. Let's check in with Lynn. So, Lynn, give us your impression of the session and how it went.
Well, I agree a lot with Alex or Kristen about the cultural moments. I think you had some excellent, excellent questions that really did get Alex to kind of shift her way of thinking and get down to what's causing this. I think it was key about trying to help her see that you can do this the way that you want to do it, because it was important to Alexandra, that she come from a place of integrity. And so the only way to really do that is what feels right to you and feels peaceful to you, didn't do it in that manner. I know we're being taught a lot about websites and, you know, LinkedIn and all these things, but if it doesn't fit me, it doesn't fit me. And I think it would come through if it doesn't quite work for you. I would like to have seen maybe some questions. I got the sense that you're not able to, I think you're wanting to be open and honest, but you're not quite there yet in the manner of everybody knowing. And I might have that completely wrong, but I could understand that, because it's one thing that you've worked through it, you're dealing with it, but yet, well, Susie Q in the corner didn't know about this, and now she does. And I'm okay with that, but I'm not okay with that. And I think that's where you're kind of, maybe that struggle's coming in a little bit with your social media, trying to do it that way and doing it this way, and I have to put all this out there rather than, I just rather have people refer to me. And they get to know me down that level and not from some other level, but I could be way off. Anyway, I think there were some great questions. I think you sounded, I could hear the excitement in your voice and the different types of sessions you did and what you got out of it. And it's just great to hear someone that you just know this is your calling and this is it.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
So, Lynn, what can Kristen do to improve her coaching skills?
Not a whole lot. I think you did really well, Kristen. I mean, you had some really good, like I said, very more of an intuitive questions. I'm not sure. I think you listened pretty well. You kind of tried to take off in some of the past, maybe be a little bit more hesitant before saying something, but even then, I don't think I felt that much. I think overall, you're on a good path. You're going in a good direction.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's check in with Alexandra. So, Alexandra, how are you feeling right now?
Mm-hmm. I'm appreciating this nice community effect we have. And I appreciate so much just all those questions that helped me connect with the tools and resources I have developed within myself. I can ask myself questions, right? But there's something about it coming from external sources that makes you perk up in a different way and maybe answer differently. So that process was super helpful. And Lynn, I think you're right that it feels a little bit like an announcement about one's past. And on the one hand, I'm definitely strong enough to be able to let that happen. I think all that can be said is it's just going to be the fact of the matter that I'll have my work cut out for me mentally to meet whatever thoughts want to go to, what perceptions are being made. I'll just have to meet them with kindness. And, you know, that's okay, Alex. I understand you're wondering what other people think, but really it doesn't matter? No, because I know it doesn't. So it's just a little like self-coaching and, I guess what was really, really nice about this is just being reminded that I can do it myself, and also with the help of others, and trust it.
Alexandra,
and you can.
You are strong enough. Keep in mind, you don't have to do this alone. But you're definitely strong enough. Okay.
Yeah.
You're not only strong enough, you're inspirational.
You hear it, I guess. Oh, thank you. Well,
I think
I'll
I hear what Glenn
it.
Said. I didn't quite hear what Glenn said.
I'm sorry. I said she's not only strong enough, she's an inspiration to others as well.
Yes, she is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Very brave.
Well, it doesn't define you.
Right.
It's not who you are. And some of these older ladies said that you you know, coach, they probably don't even know that about you, but they got something out of you and from you. And they're those kinds that can keep referring you on, and you're not defined by it.
Exactly. It's a skill set that's not only applicable to that particular niche. So you're right. I really appreciate all the good things that we talked about. Just the whole call, you know? We're a good group.
You rock, Alexandra. You rock.
I was going to say that about this group. I would love to stay in touch with everybody. We've talked about, and I definitely want to stay in touch with Cheyenne, who's my buddy. But I love this group, and I would love to be able to keep the momentum and the support going past this class for whoever is interested.
Yeah.
Ditto.
Maybe we'll stoop to social media and do it that way.
We'll get you on there.
Oh, no. You created a monster, Kristen.
All right. Anything else you want to add, Alexandra, before I give some feedback here as well?
That's all for me.
Okay. So, a couple things here. First of all, really, both coaches did just great jobs today. Do you guys think back to some of our earlier sessions and how they sounded, how they flowed, how we were all given advice and that kind of stuff? And here today's, you can see the growth in the coaches. And, you know, so it's not only here, but also let's talk about the observers. Both Ronnie and Lynn gave excellent insights. Because, Lynn, what you said about, you know, that but she's not quite ready to open up yet, I picked up on exactly the same thing, and then she acknowledged it here, her comments as well. So that kind of ability to hear the subtleties, something we couldn't do 3 or 4 months ago, and now we're doing it. And that's really good. And Kristen, you know, back to you directly, really intuitive questions, very a good presence, but also you were supportive of her. It didn't feel at all robotic, but it felt natural, like you were saying, Alexandra, I'm here for you. You can lean on me. Together we'll walk through this. And I really like that.
Thank you.
And I like the way a few times you repeated questions, which you didn't quite answer them. And it was very subtle the way you did that. But it was nicely done because he comes back and says, yeah, I'm not going to be distracted from what I heard. Answer the question. And you did that. And that was really appropriate. But it wasn't obvious. Okay? And that's really very nice. I like that a lot. Let's see.
Thank you.
Close the agenda about 9 minutes in, which is perfect for about a 20-minute session. That's really about right. And you've really got her to open up. Like Lynn said, it's hard to give you a lot of negative feedback or constructive feedback because there's so many things right here. Big thing I would tell you is that don't try. I sense a little bit. You were ahead of the client a few times. Then you kind of.
I pulled myself back. Yeah.
Yeah. And we kind of heard that in there. But, you know, the progress you guys are making has really been excellent. So you should be proud of yourselves for what you have done here. Good job here, Kristen.
Thank you.
Good intercession as well. All right. Couple things here before we sign off for today. First of all, I mentioned this earlier, you know, next week we start tying in 16, 18, and 20 are about building the bigger business. And for some of you, like Alexandra, you're going to get some relief, especially from next week's session. You're going to go, okay, I know what's important now, and I can structure my business the way I want to. Others of you, maybe more like Glenn, might go, thanks, Dave, my list just got longer. sorry about that, but 16, 18, 20 are aimed toward the business building. And we talked a couple weeks ago about the faculty support when class comes to an end. Yeah, this is what happens to it. 60-20 turned into my to-do list just got really long. But I now feel focused and directed on how to build my business. So I wanted to mention that. Now, in other news, I heard a beep. Did Crystal join us?
Yes, I'm here. I joined way early.
Okay. So, Crystal, actually, I've got you down as the observer now for week 17. Okay. Because Ronnie took your place here today. So the, quote, bad news is the remaining, we have three remaining coach-to-coach weeks. Because of the class size, we have three coach-to-coach sessions in each of those weeks. So we got to run the sessions much tighter to get done by close to the bottom of the hour, okay? So we will be skipping the 30-second description of the simple coaching model, and the sessions will be limited to about 15 to 16 minutes each to get them done and get the good feedback that we have to have in there. So just be aware of that going forward. Also, we're going to sign off now, but if anybody wants to talk about the imposter syndrome for a few minutes, I'll hang on the bridge here afterwards, because that's a fairly common thing. We talked about it a little bit before, but if you want to hang on now and talk about it some more, I'm willing to do that. Other than that, anything else for the good of the cause here today?
Really fast. Friday is Tyra's birthday.
Oh, okay.
Happy birthday.
So happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Finally able to buy a drink on your own. That's good to know that.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Lynn.
Look, don't kill me.
I'm not.
I can't stay on, but if anybody wants to look at Brené Brown, she has some really great feedback on imposter syndrome as well.
Good. Good. She's really good. She really is.
I love Brené Brown. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'll hang around, but basically, a class is dismissed. Have a great week. Talk to you all next week. All right, we got some people on the bridge here, it looks like, still. Imposter syndrome. Talked about a little bit before, but some of you, I'm guessing that if you're on the bridge here still, you're kind of feeling like, yeah, a little bit of an imposter, or it's in the back of my mind someplace. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
correct.
All right, so... First of all, everybody goes through this because you don't come out of a 6-month class and you're suddenly a coaching genius. It just doesn't work that way. But I want you to think about something here. Some of you guys have been coached in the past, either by a formal coach or maybe it's just part of your job or part of your friends have given you some coaching this way. At what point in time, or what do you think has to happen for you suddenly to say, ah, I've arrived. I am no longer an imposter. What has to happen to make that happen, do you think?
Well, for me, this is Glenn, and it may be unfounded, but for me, it's that whole experience thing. I mean, I think I may have had the conversation with you before. Going into executive coaching, I have this concern or I have this observation that, you know, many folks are going to be looking, you know, because of the level of the organization, much like you know this, you do it every day, they may be looking for someone who is much more experienced. And the way I'm getting around that so far is I've been pointing out to folks that, look, I've been coaching and mentoring people for 25-plus years in senior leadership positions. And so the curriculum, the credentials, the certification, starting a business around that, I may be in the infancy stages of that, but I've been coaching for a long time, but back to your question, what's behind the imposter and not feeling, it's really having that experience and having people feeling comfortable that, yeah, you've got the experience, you can help me, you're worth commanding that price level based on those things.
Okay, good. Other thoughts?
This is Hina. Can I add something?
Sure.
I struggled with this huge issue as well. It took me so many weeks to kind of go through it, and I was working with my therapist with this. And the point I realized is that if I just focus on the outcome and I'm helping people, that to me is kind of getting rid of that insecurity, because it doesn't matter if I'm certified or not, if I'm helping someone in some way, even through the complimentary session, to me, like, that's what I want to get out of it. So it kind of speaks volumes of me as a coach. And I think that for me is helpful to combat imposter syndrome.
This is Kristen. I really like that, and I'm going to use that.
Thank
you. I really like that concept, because that focuses you on what you can actually do in the moment and being positive,
mm-hmm.
and moves you forward. I think that's awesome.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, there's not a coronation date where someone says, congratulations, you're now not only certified, you're actually a real coach. Doesn't work like that, as you guys have pointed out. I mean, you guys have been coaching anyway. You have different techniques that you're learning now, different certifications. But it's a little bit like leadership. I can draw this parallel here. I do a lot of work around leadership, obviously, and I talk about the fact that, you know, I can anoint you, the leader, by making you the manager, director, vice president, and say, boom, here, you're the leader, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, you're a leader. That doesn't make you a leader. Giving you a certification doesn't make you a coach. What makes you a leader is people wanting to follow you. People saying, when I'm in this organization, I look to Alexandra and say, whatever she says, it makes sense. I want to follow that. I look at her as the leader. In the coaching world, it's more like, yeah, when I talk to Hina, I get such good insight. She makes me think, not only in the session, but after the session. So, again, to go back to the idea we talked about in the first session with Glenn, it's not a date. It's not a matter of saying on this date you are officially, you know, not only a certified coach, but you're a good coach and you're worth the money. It's the value of the experience from the client's perspective. The people in the organization look to you as being the leader, then you're really the leader. When people you are coaching find the value because you've helped them see new perspective, that's when you're really the coach. And the only way to get to that point is to keep doing it. And see the impact and follow up on the impact. Hey, we talked a couple weeks ago about X, Y, Z. How'd that work for you? Because people won't necessarily tell you on their own. When you follow up, the center say, yeah, it really helped. I'm really seeing things differently. Ah, now I'm a coach. You guys see what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I do. That's that comment about follow-up on the impact. That was very helpful.
Yeah. Because otherwise you don't know. Right? You might give somebody a session that went really well, and you don't follow up, and you don't know that, man, you just changed their lives. I recall getting a phone call from a client who said, I just want to call you, Dave, and tell you, I'm at the airport. I'm going on vacation. Wouldn't happen without you. Wow. That's the kind of moment that you sit there and say, man, I actually do know what I'm doing here. I may not always feel that way, but I do. What else can I do for you guys here today?
Dave, can I just add something really quick?
Sure.
Speaking about the niche and everything, and I've kind of learned that, like that was mentioned earlier, you can't let your niche define you. I was having the same issues as Alexandra, the same issues, and I've kind of realized that when you're on social media, at the end of the day, you're in control. So it's whatever you want to put out there. So if you're not open with sharing your story really early, that's okay. You can just start with other things, and that's within your control. Because I had the same issue. I thought if you're on social media, you're out there, people are going to judge you, people are going to define you as, the special need mom or whatever. But I realized that it is really within your control if you let it be, you know, and that's been helping me ease up on social media and opening accounts and stuff, that mindset that I've kind of developed.
Good. All right. Anything else I can do for you guys here today?
Appreciate you sticking on for a few minutes.
Thank you so much, Dave. Yeah, thanks for answering our questions. Appreciate it.
I'm happy to help. It's what I do. All right, guys. Have a great week. We'll talk to you same time next week.
Thank you.
Bye. Right. See you next week.
Bye, everybody.